If you want to take your Bible and turn to Luke 24, I want to share with you guys. Y'all remember an old hymn for those of us that are old? Where it says, "He lives, he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He has salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That is a powerful message. A message that is spoken in song, but a message that was so relevant to them of that day. As Ryan mentioned earlier, they probably felt as if this was the end. They didn't know what was coming. Even for many of them, they had forgotten that Jesus told them that he was going to die on a cross, and then on the third day he was going to rise again. But in spite of forgetting that reality, in Luke chapter 24, no, I'm going to do this first. Okay. If you guys have a word that you have written down, and you want to share with us something that God has done in these last 40 days that ended on Friday, we started this, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. So if someone here today, they want to declare what God has done. Come on, don't be shy. Okay, Tony. Tell us, brother.
All right. So I'm not going to share super details to affect my family's healing process, but I confessed to the church not too long ago that I was doing good, and right after that, basically lost my job. Had a scary situation happened.
Thank you, Gabe. Thank you.
Anyway, lost my job. Went to a scary situation. But looking back at it, I used to think that it was the devil attacking me for my decision opening up that door for him. But I feel like since I opened up that door, God used that situation to let it happen and to put the fear of him within me and to steer me towards him. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm walking towards him harder than ever.
That's good. That's good. Somebody else have a word they want to share? All right, Kyle. Gabe's coming with the...
Pretty loud. I saw this quote online. I thought of it over and over, and it's by C.S. Lewis. It says, "The fact that our heart yearns for something earth cannot supply is proof that heaven must be our home."
Amen. 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 That's good. Somebody else? Right there.
What a blessing. That God is in all the details, obviously, but it's beautiful when he opens our eyes and allows us to recognize his hand. And I have been looking for a church for a very long time, and I happened to arrive on February the 18th, right on time. And when we first had those books, the very first day, and he preached on Psalm 63, which is my favorite psalm. And I'm just telling you my story and take it or leave it. But I was blowing my mind here 2 weeks before I got here, and I said, "Lord, I have got to find a church. I have been visiting many, many churches, and this church, literally, your name of this church dropped in my head." I was like, "Well, there you go." And so I went away out of town with my dear friend, and I thought, "I will come and visit the next week," and I did, and I was just praising. You people are just a beautiful demonstration of the love of Christ. And my daughter was saying, "Mama, I don't think the church you're looking for exists." And so she said, "What are you looking for?" And I thought, what a great question, right? So I had to stop and go, what is it that I'm looking for that I have not seen? And the very first thing I said was humility in the pulpit, which just demonstrates a reverential fear. Anyway, humility in the pulpit, biblical accuracy, and the third thing is the fullness of the Spirit. And so I'm just grateful to be just welcome into this community.
Thank you, Nancy. God bless you. Hey, Gabe. Steve, did you see him?
All right. Well, good morning. How do you see you? And, 40 days, he shows me something every day. You seek and buy and ask him to show you something. But yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to my aunt's 90th birthday. What are you going to see at a nice place? To the left of her was her 89-year-old brother, and to the right was a 91-year-old brother. And I look back in life and see what those guys did for me. They're still singing and praising, never complaining. They show the love. They're not loving to them. But my 91-year-old, he goes and drives, he told me yesterday, 17,000 miles a year. He goes singing at nursing homes or churches and plays the harmonica. And he always reaches out. So what he told me yesterday was, regardless of your stage in life, your age, your health, you can still shine.
Amen.
Shine for others. So the message there is the Christian life, the Christian walk is a tough walk. You got to have some brothers around you. You got to have some family around you. And I just challenge the guys. Reach that next generation. Reach the young ones. Teach them how to do it. They're suffering. The world is hurting so bad. Mm. So reach out to them. Second thing I saw, this is a little bit before 40 days. I'm at the gym, working out hard. What? Sitting in the sauna, right? I saw a black gentleman, 25 years old, long, long dreadlocks, coming out of another area. And he had all his shirt that said, "How can I pray for you?" So the world does not see an old white fat guy, a black young guy, to sit them together. So I said, "I love your shirt." He said, "How can I pray for you?" So I told him about my son. He told me about his troubles with his wife. We sat there in that gym for 20 minutes and praying about each other. And it just shows again, the Christian walk is blind to where you came from, who you are, and just reach outside your circle of influence of somebody that looks like you, age like you, wealth like you, just reach out in the world. And they're again, very well. Everybody needs that vision. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I told
Yeah.
We live in the subdivision right here, Lakeshore, behind us. But we have a Facebook post. I think Robin and my wife found an older couple that their dog had gotten loose, and a lot of us know some of these animals are like our family, right? Literally. And they were pretty devastated. But we had gotten home, Robin saw that post, and my daughter, Clara, who's loves dogs, said, "We got to find this dog." So Robin went out in her vehicle, I went out in my car. I think it was getting, about 7:30-ish? So it started to get dark. So I just prayed. I actually came up into this church parking lot looking. It was right next to it. But, so I said, I think I know what I'm supposed to do. So I prayed and said, "Lord, shine the light where I'm supposed to look." So I circled around to the school, came back in here, and immediately somebody pulled behind me again, and just brights from their vehicle shining in my rear view. That said, okay, pull over, just go past. The son pulls up of the family with the dogs, and I wave him down because I heard him yelling the dog's name. And I said, "We're looking." I said, "I pray the Lord's going to shine a light and find this dog." He said, "My parents just called. We found the dog. As soon as that light hit the back of my rear view mirror."
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Gabe.
Well, the Lord's just been really, really, really trying to get me to live in His presence. And to remember that we're always in His presence, and know that He's always with us. And so a lot of my study these last many days has been focused around staying in the presence of God. And truly, He doesn't leave us, we leave Him. So
Amen.
It's our choice. But one of the things that He spoke to me that I think I'm supposed to share today is, I am the God who heals,
Amen.
Restores, provides, comforts, forgives, cleanses, reveals, abides, encourages, makes strong, matures, loves, teaches, guides, plans, envelops. I am big enough to meet all of your needs. Trust me. Depend on me. Reach out to me. Hope in me. Honor me. By doing these things, you will bring great glory and honor, and it will please my Father in heaven, and it will bring much joy to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. Anybody else? Okay, Mr. Mark.
So on March 5th, I fell and sprained my ankle severely, a high ankle sprain. Fell on some leaves. It was something I didn't see coming. I just had spine injections. The doctor told me to do something. Don't just sit in your recliner. So I was going to go on my daily 2-mile walk, and it just took me by surprise. There were leaves on this hill. And like my wife told me, I think, by the way, to you people, I think God puts your wife in your life to make you smarter. So she asked me why I keep taking this stupid shortcut, because I'd fallen before in the mud there, and I'm stubborn, I guess. And anyway, I'm not going there anymore. But I just wanted to, kind of explain what happened and to tell you that I was laying there on the sidewalk. I could not get up. That's pretty, scary. I had a pulled hamstring in my left leg. I had a sprained ankle, high ankle sprain in the right. And I remember praying to God and saying, "Where are you? Why did you let this happen?" Sort of blaming him, you know. But I didn't know whether to call 911 or what to do. And then afterwards, I realized what had happened was God knew it was going to happen. And he had already sent help. And so I looked up and I see Donnie, our pastor, driving by. Turns around, comes back, and asks if I needed help. I thought, wow, that's an understatement. So he got out and helped me up, and then drove me back to the house and helped me find a nice pack. But at any rate, I just felt like, why would I have to go through this pain? And now I guess I only know it's because it was so that I could stand here today, or sit here today, and bring the glory to God.
Amen. 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 It's good. Anybody else?
Bear with me. I'm an emotional person. I get nervous talking in front of people. I'm Jill. We're kind of new to the church. We have two toddler boys, 2 and 3 years old. So, and my husband travels a lot for work. So, as a mom, the anxiety is always really high. Told you. Two weeks ago, it was really, really high. I went for a walk, and I'm just walking and praying. I said, "God, help me have patience with my boys, help me with my temper, help me with patience with my husband." I'm walking, and I ran into a friend that I've been kind of nervous about because she's making the transition to 2 kids right now. She just had a little boy, and I haven't heard from her. I'm trying to check in, and saw her and she was in tears going for a walk as well. And God gave me the opportunity, she's like, "How can I help you?" And I had learned that how I can help with my anxiety is service to others. I got home and I got in that zone. I was like, "We're making dinner," and my boys were both pissed and they just meal. And we walked down to her house, and it relieved that stress and anxiety that I have, and learning that I need to start serving others, because the more I serve, the more I feel closer to God.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Okay, I'll finish. just to reinforce what Jill just said, at the beginning of this year, I had been asking the Lord, you know, as a lot of us do, we say, you know, you hear people say New Year's resolutions, or we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we just go before the Lord and things that might be in your life or whatever. But one morning I was praying, and as I was just submitting myself before the Lord, I said, "Lord, you know, the only person that knows me better than I know myself is you." And I've been reading the New Testament, and one morning I was just praying before the Lord. And I came across a verse of scripture in Matthew chapter 20. And the Lord is talking in verses 32 and 33, and he's healing two blind men. And this verse just jumped out of the page on me. And it's the Lord speaking. And he said, what do you want me to do for you?
Mm.
And I said, Lord, I'm simply asking for the infilling and the indwelling and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
I will tell you, there's a lot of men in this word that none of them were perfect, and he used all of them. And so my prayer for me and for our church is that, what do you want us to do, Lord? What do you want to do with me?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Do what?
I love these moments that we get when we get to share with what God is doing in our lives, just because, you know, a lot of times for me, just personally, a lot of times we feel like we're alone. I mean, we have our spouse, we have our children, but we don't get a lot of other time to just dive into life with other believers, right? And so the fact that we can come together today and share different testimonies of how God's been faithful, man, it's just encouraging. It's just super encouraging, and we can keep going. This is not me trying to end it. So if anyone else, you know, you may have that one little sentence, that one little instant of God doing something great in your life, and it could have a massive effect on someone else.
That's right.
So we can keep going, Pastor Donnie, whatever you want to do. You got some.
Hi, I'm Amy, and I have a couple of grandkids that I'm sure some of you have seen and know, John and Grant Kelly. I was riding in the car with them last week, and Grant out of the blue says to me, Graham, when we go to heaven, do we get to take our toys? And I said, you know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I bet there are toys in heaven, probably better than anything you've seen here.
That's right. Amen.
And then Grant said, well, if I can't take my toys, I want to go to heaven. And John pipes up and says, oh, you want to go to heaven? Because we're going to have a reunion. Graham and Papa, they're going to die first, but they're going to get to see their mom and dad. They're going to be happy. And then he says, and then, when we die, we're going to get to see all of you. And then he says, you have got to go to heaven, Grant. And I just thought that was pretty incredible.
That is awesome.
Lots of babes, right?
Amen.
What a celebration Amen. In heaven it'll be.
That's right. That's right.
My father lives up in Possum Canyon. If any of you guys are familiar with that out there at the lake, but if you've ever been out there, I think they've got a gentleman that lives way up on the hill that's made a cross, like a nightlight cross, up there on top of the hill. And I remember my dad was telling me, my nephew David was driving out there, and as soon as it gets dark, right, it turns on, it happened, and as he was on the back seat looking at it, he goes, oh, look, Grandpa, Jesus is open for business.
That's good.
Good morning. My name's Tom. I'm thankful for specifically men, the people at Lake Sharon's that listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, my wife and I have been praying for our kids. Like, for those of you that are parents or will be parents, you pray for your kids. You pray that their life would be easy, that things would just come to them, they would be able to do all the things. And for us, our kids didn't choose the tradition path. And we kind of got to the place where, you know, if it takes a 2x4 and back to head, I'm okay with that. Because the path they're on is not going to lead them to life. And the thing that purchased it for the at least good Friday service. And they were headed out in the middle of it. And because the Holy Spirit was leading them to pray for the kids, he takes them down. Out in the parking lot, praying with my kids. And only God knows the impact that that's going to have on their life.
Amen.
But for me as their dad, I'm thankful that Tony and everyone else in the family listens to the Holy Spirit and responds, acts on what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Good job. Good job, Tom.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna. I'm not going to stand, but my dad, Dave, is Amy's brother and Jenna and Danny's uncle. And he suffered a heart attack a weekend ago. He's in the hospital. He's about to have quadruple bypass surgery on Monday. And I'm sharing because I felt led to, but also just to say that we were in the hospital at one moment. They gave him some Valium and were getting ready to take him back to the cath lab, so he was drugged up. But while we were talking to him, he said, me and some other family friends of ours were with us, and he said, I see a woman walking behind you playing a trumpet. And in 2019, before the pandemic, my Amy and my dad's parents both passed, and his wife, my stepmom Terry, passed within 4 months of each other. And later on, he said to me, well, actually, I saw three that looked like spirits walking behind you. And I believe they were angels because I had so much peace. And I just wanted to say that and share that I know that his word says that he will command his angels to stand watch over us, to guard us, and protect us. And that I believe that there are angels watching over my father, but that God will always protect all of us.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Gabe. Thank you all for sharing. Thank you for your willingness to communicate and to share with us. You make my job so much harder because now I got to consolidate everything I was going to say to you guys in 15 minutes. No, I just want to tell you how wonderful it is to hear you talk about God. That is a great thing. You know, you expect that from your family. And you guys delivered today. I appreciate that so much. I think probably everyone here understands that there was a moment when they were going out, the women were going out to prepare spices and things to anoint Jesus after he had died. And when they came to the grave, God had sent an angel to speak to them. And the women were terrified and they were bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men ask, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. And you can go to Matthew chapter 17 where Jesus told them, I am going to be surrendered to men, and they are going to crucify me. But in 3 days, I will rise again. Now, Jesus predicted that he was going to die. But the angel came and he affirmed what Jesus had predicted. And when Jesus himself rose from the dead, when he did what he came to accomplish, he fulfilled that prediction. Now, when we think about that, what in the world does that have to do with you and I, or with others? What does that have to do in the world? Why was this historic event proclaimed so many times? You know, Paul says later in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I delivered to you what is of first importance, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. The scriptures taught that reality, and that is exactly what happened. So now, when we look at ourselves, we need to look at ourselves differently because of what Jesus has done for us. When we know him, we know the one who makes us alive. We know the one who delivers us from the penalty of sin. We know the one who has made a sacrifice that we could live abundantly and experience life here and in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, it's the longest time we will ever live. We might live 100 years here, 110. But think about all eternity. We have the opportunity to live with him because we serve a risen Savior today who's alive and who gives us the opportunity to trust in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 says, it is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to life. And he adds, forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in great strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. That's what we have to look forward to. A transformation in the life that we're now living to the life that God has always planned for us. And in his purpose, he gives us this light. He gives us this life to experience. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the fact that we have free access to the Father. We can come boldly before the throne of God because, not because we're special, but because Jesus died to give to us the opportunity to come into the throne room by his blood, by his righteousness, by the work that he has accomplished. we have a message we can use to spur one another on. We have a certain hope, and we have an eternal salvation. All of that is made possible because Jesus rose from the dead. All of that is made possible because of the power of the gospel. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again on the third day. Not according to my opinion, not according to your opinion, but according to the scriptures, who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Each and every word is taught to us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And he himself is the propitiation." That's a big word. May not know what that means, but in its simplest form, God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for you and for me. He accepted that. And he said that he would do it. He promised us that he would. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, "In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin." He sent his Son. Now, I know that probably a lot of times we look back on things and we say, "God, I know you can't forgive me of that. I know that I've just gone too far, or I've done it too many times." But do you know what the scripture says? The scripture says God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait on us to come to him. He gave us the greatest gift of all in the life of Jesus. And you and I can now experience that great blessing because of what he has done for us. So if you're here today, I want to remind you what we started off with. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He wants to live within the heart of all mankind. If you will be willing to surrender your will and take upon yourself God's blessing of his righteousness, he will accomplish great things, as we have heard today, in your life and in the lives of those that are around you. So let's pray together.